Hallelujah. Ooh, we're a privileged people today. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad that you don't serve some unknown God? You can take it to the Lord in prayer today. And what a mighty presence of the Lord we have felt in this place today. Amen. One more time before we get ready to turn to the word of the Lord, can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise for all of our visitors that are here with us today? We're so glad to see you. Pray you've been blessed in the house of the Lord today. Amen. And before I get ready to turn to the word of the Lord, I want to share with you. Last week, Sister Karen Brittle, amen, came to us about her brother Doug, who was going in for open heart surgery. And she just came up here and told me that he came through the surgery good and he's recovering well. Amen. So I just want to share that testimony with you today. Isn't God good? Amen. He is so good and so worthy of all of our praise today. Amen. If you would stand with me in honor of the word of God, I want to share with this body what's in my heart today. I don't know how else to preach to you other than just share with you, Brother Paul, what's in my heart today. Amen. I want to share with this body what's in my heart today. If you join me in the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, it's not a real popular place to preach, but I know what God has given me today. Amen. The book of Jeremiah, we're going to be in the first chapter. I'm going to be reading verse 1 through 10. The book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations is a very dark time in the past of the nation of Israel. At this time, actually, Israel and Judah were separated into a northern and a southern kingdom. In fact, Israel had just recently, within the last 100 years, been destroyed by the Assyrians. Amen. And now, because of the disobedience of the people of Judah, because of the breach of covenant, amen, with God, he had delivered them into the hands of the Babylonians. And this is where I want to take my text today. It's not a real easy place to preach from, but I believe God's going to help us. Amen. And I believe the Lord is in it. The book of Jeremiah, the first chapter, I want to read verse 1 through 10 very quickly. If you got that, shout yes. Amen. If you need a Bible, see us before you leave here today. We'll make sure you leave with a Bible. The words are provided for you on the screens to my right and to my left. Amen. If you do not have your Bible with you today. Jeremiah 1 and 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Verse 3 says, it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. They were carried away into Babylon. Verse 4 says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, Jeremiah, saying, listen to the words that the Lord spoke into the prophet Jeremiah in one of the darkest times of his life. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Ooh, my God. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, Jeremiah, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But then the Lord said unto Jeremiah, say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I sent thee, and whatsoever I command thee, that thou shalt speak. Verse 8 says, be not afraid, Jeremiah, of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched the mouth of Jeremiah. And the Lord said unto Jeremiah, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build up and to plant. My God, what a powerful word the Lord spoke into the prophet Jeremiah in one of the darkest times of his life. Jeremiah was given the difficult task of speaking against the idolatry of Judah. It was a dark time in the nation's history. Judah had rebelled against God. Judah was pursuing other gods who supported and justified their immoral and their sexual behaviors, all of the things that they were doing that they knew were not right in the eyes of God. They were pursuing other gods so they could feel better about themselves. Then, though Jeremiah spoke unto Judah, no one listened. Nobody heard what the prophet had to say. And God's judgment came upon the people of Judah, because nobody listened, and God judged them. And God's judgment came upon the nation, amen, and they were carried away into Babylon. I believe God is speaking to us here today. Amen. Will we give up the idols that are separating us from Him? The Lord is going to help us in this series. I want to begin on a new series today about Babylon. And today I would like to speak to you, preach to you about Babylon and idolatry. Babylon and idolatry. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord today if you've enjoyed His presence in His house? Clap your hands unto the Lord if you've enjoyed seeing all of our visitors. Clap your hands unto the Lord if He woke you up this morning, put breath in your body, amen, put clothes on your back, if He put gas in your car and food on your table and a bed to sleep in your house. Would you give God some praise in His house today? Because He's certainly worthy of it. He is certainly worthy of it. Amen. And one more time, would you clap your hands unto the Lord as you're seated in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Babylon and idolatry. When we think of the word Babylon, we think of violence. We think of injustice. We think of bondage and slavery. But even more importantly, by the end of this series, I'm hoping and I'm praying that you realize, even more importantly, Babylon was known for idolatry. Idolatry. Amen. And the word Babylon occurs in Scripture around 200 times. So I think that the Lord wants us, Brother David, to learn something from Babylon. Amen. If God's going to put it in His Word, Brother Joe, 200 times, I think there's a reason why God will continually reference Babylon. Amen. He wants us to learn something about Babylon. The prophet Jeremiah was called to preach during a very difficult time in his life. Amen. And Jeremiah would live to see some unspeakable things. Jeremiah would live to see the destruction of Jerusalem. Jeremiah would live to see the kingdom of Judah destroyed. Jeremiah would live to see Solomon's temple in ruins. Amen. And Jeremiah would even live to see his king Zedekiah's eyes gouged out of his head by the Babylonians. Jeremiah saw some really hard times. Amen. He would watch with his own eyes God's people pay a heavy price for idolatry. If you see God as someone who, today, if you see God as someone who is tolerant, amen, if you see God as someone who is tolerant, who can put up with any kind of behavior endlessly on our part, can I tell you today, your concept of God needs to change. I'm going to say that one more time before we get down to the nitty gritty. If you see God as just a tolerant God who will put up with our nonsense endlessly on our part, you need to change your concept of who God is. Because although God is a merciful God, and although God is a loving God, and although God is a gracious God, He's also a God of justice. Amen. And He's also a jealous God. And He also said, I won't give my glory to another. Amen. And the prophet Jeremiah, he saw some very hard times. Amen. And God called him to preach during a very difficult time. Amen. And we're going to see, amen, through the coming weeks that God is a God of mercy, but God is also a God of great justice. And we're going to see that God hates sin. God has a hatred for sin, and God is a jealous God, and idolatry always leads to bondage. Thousands of years have passed. That concept has not changed. Amen. If we get caught up in idols, Brother Logan, it will lead us to bondage. If we put anything before God, if we begin to put the things of this world before God, they become an idol in our life. And idol worship always leads to bondage. And we as the people of God must learn to be faithful to God even when we are under judgment. This is what we learn by the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations. Because God will, amen, everybody say God will. God will judge, amen, a nation, amen, for its immorality. Amen. God will judge a nation for its sexual immorality. God will judge a nation for its gender confusion. And God will judge a nation based on its worship of idols and putting things before God. Can I tell you, we need to pray for our country like we've never prayed for our country. We need to pray for our leaders like we've never prayed for our leaders. And we need to pray for our churches like we have never prayed for our churches before. Because there's going to come a point in time where even under the judgment of God, we got to stay faithful to God. We see that Jeremiah was able to do these things. Because if you're faithful to God through all of it, through everything you go through, though everything is falling down all around you. How many ever feel in this world like everything's falling down all around us? Come on, somebody. How many sees the crimes on the rise? How many see perversions on the rise? How many see the confusion is on the rise? Amen. But there's revival in the church. You know why? Because if we stay faithful to God, God will stay faithful to us. And if we worship God with everything that's within us, though all hell assails us, we will not be moved. We will not be moved. Amen. And sometimes you're going to see the judgment of God all around you. Amen. And you're going to see that God does judge people, and He is a God of justice. Amen. But if you stay close to Jesus and you keep your eyes up on Him, you can still have the joy of the Holy Ghost. You can still have a personal revival, even in the midst of everything falling down around you. Have you ever seen someone in your life that no matter what happened in their life, no matter how many bad things were going on in their life, somehow, some way, they still always had a smile on their face. They still always had the joy of the Lord in their spirit and in their soul. Somehow, every time you went to them, even though everything was falling apart all around them, you still felt better just being around them. Because they're in the midst of a personal revival. Can I tell you, even in the midst of God's judgment, we can still have the favor of God. We can still have the favor of God on our lives. We can still be blessed and highly favored. Jeremiah would never see the revival for which he prayed and which he preached. Jeremiah, for years upon years upon years, Brother Jacob, preached to a people that would not hear him. But yet he knew what God, Sister Lucinda, had called him to do. He knew that even in the midst of judgment, there was somebody who wanted to love the Lord. There was somebody who wanted to be faithful to God, and they needed to hear to turn your eyes to the Lord. Amen. Jeremiah would never see the revival for which he prayed. He would never see the revival for which he preached about, but somehow, some way, he stayed faithful to God. And if you've come to church this morning because you want a feel-good message or you want a prosperity preacher, amen, I come to tell you today, amen, I can't help you with that because that's not what I'm here for today. That's not what the book of Jeremiah is about today. If you want the pastor to just say, you can do anything you want, you can live any way you want, as long as you got some self-will, as long as you pay your tithes, I'm not your guy today. I'm not the one who come to make you comfortable on your road to hell. I come to tell you, you got to be faithful to God even in the midst of judgment today. You got to be faithful to God. I'm sorry I didn't bring that with me today. It's not on my agenda today because that's not who Jeremiah was. That's not what Lamentations was. But if you want to be here today, if you're serious about dealing with your sin today, if you're serious about getting real with God today, if you're serious about living and giving your whole heart to Him today, then this series is for you. This series is for you because I believe God wants us to learn something about Babylon today. I believe God wants to reveal something to us today about His judgment. If you want to deal with your sin, if you want to get serious with the Lord, if you want repentance in your life, if you want God on the throne in your life, this series is for you. Come on, this sermon is for you. This service is for you today. If you want, listen, if you want God to permeate every experience in your life, every relationship in your life, if you want God in your finances, if you want God in your marriage, if you want God in your home, if you want God on your job, if you want God in your church, if you want God in your friendships, I come to tell you, you're in the right place today because the Lord's going to speak to us over the next few services. You need Him on the throne in your life. But sometimes He's going to rain down judgment. Sometimes God's going to judge idolatry. I mean, it's a hard message, but it's a true message. Sometimes God wounds us so God can heal us. Can I tell you, sometimes we need to be wounded by God. God chastens those whom He loves. God corrects us. God orders our steps. Amen. And I come to tell you in these times, in these trying times, in these last days, you don't need somebody to tickle your ear. You don't need somebody to pamper your hind end. You need somebody to tell you how to get to heaven today. That's what you need. If you're ready to deal with your flesh and if you're ready to deal with sin, I believe the Lord's going to speak to us. This is exactly what you need. It's a hard message, but it's a true message. An idol is anything that you put before God. Everybody say anything. Anything that you put before God becomes an idol. We have all had things that we have had to have God tear down in our lives. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all allowed our priorities to get a little bit messed up. We have all allowed things to slip into places that they shouldn't be. And before we know it, we recognize, and God comes along and he says, you're putting up this idol in your life and I'm going to tear it down because I'm a jealous God and I'm not going to have anything else before me. You're going to love me with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Amen. We've all come to that place in our lives where we realize we got some stuff messed up. Amen. It was a dark time for Jeremiah, and it's getting darker by the day. He's feeling, Brother Jediah, the hopelessness. He's recognizing that people are not hearing the message. He's realizing that people are not turning their hearts back to God. Amen. Even though they found themselves being carried away into Babylon. My God, you're in a bad place when the Lord turns you over to judgment and you get carried away into Babylon and you still won't turn your heart to God. You really got some stuff messed up. I come to tell somebody, I don't ever want to find myself in that position. I want to find myself tender. I want to find myself searching. I want to find myself looking always for my God. Amen. And I don't want to find myself so hardened that God will turn me over to judgment and I still can't recognize the error of my ways. It's a dark time for Jeremiah. It's getting darker by the day. He's feeling the hopelessness, but he knows what he's been called to do. He knows he's been called to be separated from this world. And at this time, the northern kingdom, which was called Israel, and the southern kingdom, which was called Judah, had been split. And the northern kingdom, about 100 years earlier, had already been destroyed by the Assyrians. And Jeremiah is telling Judah, come on, guys, open your eyes and just look and see what has happened. Because they were disobedient, God turned the nation of Israel over to the hands of the Assyrians, and they were destroyed. And now here we are, 100 years later, and God has turned Judah over to the hands of the Babylonians, and you won't even hear the word of the Lord. How bad, how trying of times is it really? He knows what he's been called to do. He's been called to be separated from the world. Amen. And he's telling them, come on, guys, look what happened to Israel. It's time that we turn our hearts back to God and we have revival. But nobody was listening. You ever feel like you're talking to people, but nobody is listening? My God, so many times I have felt like the prophet Jeremiah. So many times I have felt that hopelessness. So many times I have felt that discouragement. So many times, Brother Doug, I have felt that loneliness. But just like the Lord touched the mouth of the prophet, the Lord has touched me. And the Lord has helped me to hold on. Even when people don't want to live for God, he said, you just keep on preaching it. Because there's coming a time revival's going to come. There's coming a time, even in the midst of judgment, my people are going to turn their heart back to me. And I'm going to hear them because I love them and I'm going to bring joy to their city. So we got to keep on preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to turn our hearts back to God. Amen. And the Lord said through the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah, he said, what wrongs has your fathers found in me that they would turn, that they would go from me and they would turn to worthless things? Why would they pursue vanity instead of staying in love with the one who delivered them out of the land of Egypt? The one who brought water out of a rock when they were thirsty. The one who caused manna to rain down from heaven when they were hungry. The one who parted the Red Seas and allowed them to cross over on dry land and buried their enemies in the midst of the sea. Why would my people follow after a God, a false God, instead of staying in love with me? Why would they be turned to worthless things? Why? He asked, why? To the prophet Jeremiah, why would they forsake me? But he went on and he said, they have forsaken me. They have forsaken the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed out cisterns from themselves, broken cisterns that cannot hold any water. My God, I don't want to see, church, what happened to Israel and the Assyrians. I don't want to see what happened to Judah and the Babylonians. I don't want to see those things happen to the church of the living God today, because they are getting caught up in idol worship and they're letting their priorities get out of whack and they're putting second things first and third things first. Can I tell you, God just wants to be at the top of your priority list, because anything you put before him becomes your idol. Anything. It doesn't matter if it's a person, a place, or a thing. Anything you put before God becomes your idol. And idol worship always leads to Babylon. Idol worship always leads to Babylon. But the Lord asked the prophet, why had they forsaken me? Why would they do these things? Amen. And I don't want to see that happen to the church today. So we got to keep the idols out. And we got to keep God first in our life. And we got to keep the fires of revival burning in our congregation and in our service today. We got to keep our hearts turned towards God. Idolatry is when you trade God for something else. How many know it's so easy for us to criticize Judas. It's so easy. We look at Judas and we say, man, he sold the Lord out for 30 pieces of silver. It's so easy for us to criticize Judas. Amen. But it's so easy. Let me tell you something. It's so easy to let your priorities get out of whack in your life. It's so easy to put second things first. Amen. And they begin to let things get out of priority. Amen. Idolatry is when you trade God in for something else, and that road always leads to Babylon. Why would Israel have an attraction to idols? Why would Judah have an attraction to idols? Why would the church of today be attracted to idols? Because idols have a tolerance for the things that God does not have a tolerance for. Come on, somebody. Is it all right if I preach for just a moment? Idols give you room. Idols give you tolerance for things that you know you should not be doing. Come on, an idol ain't going to stand up against you against sexual immorality. Come on, idols don't care if you're shacking up, but God said, let not fornication be named among you. Idols don't care if you get drunk or you get high or you do any of the things that you want to do, but God said you ought to come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Why would we turn to idols? Because idols give us the room to do what we want to do. That's what idols give us the room to do. The Lord said, let not fornication be named among you. It's better to marry than it is to burn. Idols don't care if you lie or cheat or steal or hurt one another. That's why we're in the mess we're in today. Because our country has turned to idols today. But God said, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house or thy neighbor's wife. Come on, you see, the dangerous thing about idol worship is that it always allows you to do what you want to do instead of what God tells you to do. So we want idols in our life because we want to be able to do what we want to do. Idol worship belongs in Babylon, not in Jerusalem. And if you want to live free in Judah, you got to resist idol worship, and you got to keep God first. Let me tell you something today. People today are of the notion, if I just get God off my back, I'll be able to do what I want. Come on, if I just get those Christians off my back, I'll be able to do what I want to do. And won't nobody be trying to make me feel bad about what I'm doing? Come on, that's what the world would have you believe today. Just get God off of your back and you'll be able to do what you want. But can I tell you today that drinking from that fountain comes with a high cost?
Drinking from that fountain comes with a high cost. Let me tell you something, living without God, living without a moral conviction, living without a moral compass, living without somebody to chastise you and set you straight and tell you when you're wrong is always going to lead you to captivity in Babylon. It's always going to lead you to Babylon. Idol worship belongs in Babylon and not in the church. If you want to live in free in Judah, you got to resist idol worship. Come on, stop listening to people that don't know what they're talking about. Because drinking from that fountain comes with a huge cost. It's the reason why our children today don't know whether they're a boy or a girl or a kitty cat. Come on, somebody. I could take you less than an hour from here right now and show you where there's some litter boxes in a bathroom. I can show you where there's some tampons in a boy's locker room. I come to tell somebody we got some stuff messed up, and it's time that we stop putting idols before our God today. And it's time we lift him high and we worship him as the head of our life and we keep him first. America is seeing the results of taking prayer out of schools. That's what we're seeing today. We're seeing the results of taking prayer out of schools. We're reaping what we have sown. It's time that we get real with God. It's time we prioritize God. It's time we get some stuff back where it needs to be. We got some stuff messed up, church. I came to preach to this church today, trading God in for idols, trying to live without God in your life, trying to live without a moral compass. Come on, led Judah right to Babylon, and it'll lead us to the same place. 2,000 years have gone, and it ain't made no difference. Idol worship still leads to Babylon. You got to put God first in your life. Come on, I didn't want to preach this today. I want to preach something that's going to make you jump up and down. I want to preach something that's going to give you goosebumps. I want to preach something that's going to make you cry and get out of your seat and run to an altar today. I don't want to preach this today, but I know what God called me to do. I know God told me to set the record straight. I know when God says, you better tell my people that they can't have anything before me. I'm a jealous God today. And we got to keep God first in our lives. Come on, I'm trying to stay out of Babylon. I'm trying to keep you out of Babylon. We got to stay out of Babylon today. Some things, sometimes you got to sound the trumpet. And if you're looking for a feel-good or a prosperity message, you might want to go to another church for a few weeks. Because that's not what I'm going to give you. What I'm going to give you is what thus saith the Lord. What we're going to talk about is Babylon. What we're going to talk about is judgment. What we're going to talk about is the decline of a nation and how the church can stay the church even in the decline of a nation. We're the church of the living God. We're the people of God. We're his bride. We're the apple of his eye today. And we can be blessed even in the midst of judgment. Huh? Come on, I'm one of those news junkies. I watch it more than I should. I read it more than I should. Sometimes I get conviction because I look at the news too much. I stay up on current events. I see all of this mess. I see where we're at today. And let me tell you something, America better turn their heart back to God. America better turn their heart back to God. Because if God judged Sodom and Gomorrah for gender confusion, God will sure enough judge the United States of America for gender confusion. It's time that we turn our hearts back to God today. It's time we turn our hearts back to God today. Because idol worship always leads to Babylon. Church, I'm trying to keep you out of that God-forsaken place. I'm trying to keep you out of that bondage in Babylon. And in order to stay out of Babylon, we got to resist idol worship and we got to keep God first in our life. Church, the truth is that even idols demand allegiance. Can I tell you that idols don't let go easily? They look good at first. They come off as pretty. They come off as fun. But can I tell you, when an idol gets a hold of you, it don't let go easily. Come on, somebody. Even idols demand your allegiance. Come on, it takes faith to follow after an idol, and it takes faith to follow after God. And you know what I want to do? I want to follow after the one that's going to keep me out of Babylon. I don't want bondage in my life. I don't want oppression in my life. I don't want depression in my life. I want freedom that only comes from the Holy Ghost today. We got to keep idol worship out of our life if we're going to stay out of Babylon. Let me tell you something. Idols don't always look like you think they might. Oh, watch out, preacher. Watch out, preacher. Well, don't get personal now. But idols don't always look like you think they might look. Come on, you might not have a Dagon in your life. You might not have a Buddha in your life. You might not have a statue set up somewhere in a field in your life. But let me tell you what you might have. You might have sports in your life. You might have business in your life. You might have extramarital affairs in your life. You might have this or that in your life. There are many different idols you can fall prey to today. There are many different idols you can fall prey to today. You might be in love with money. You might be in love with position. You might be in love with popularity. Idols come in all shapes and sizes, and idols disguise themselves well. But idols won't let go of you easily. Let me tell you something. If you can't sit through a church service without watching sports on your cell phone, you need to repent and you need to ask God to help you. Oh my God, I feel like preaching. Is it all right? If you can't sit through a church service without checking Fox News, you need to pray. You need to repent. You need to ask God to help you. If you can't sit through a church service without getting on Facebook, you need to repent and you need to ask God to help you. Because they become an idol in your life, and God is a jealous God, and He doesn't want any idols in your life. Idols disguise themselves well. Calvin. How many have heard of the Calvinist? The great theologian Calvin said that the human mind is an idol factory. I believe it. I believe it. The human mind is an idol factory. It produces one right after the other, and another, and another, and another. And as soon as you gain victory over one, your mind will produce another. That's why it's so important that you learn to resist idol worship, because it ain't going anywhere. You're going to battle it. You're going to fight it. You're going to struggle with it all the days of your life. You can have the Holy Ghost, but there will be a stairway that will lead you right down from that Holy Ghost right back to your past anytime you choose to walk down it. Anytime you choose to walk down it, your mind is an idol factory. It will produce idol after idol after idol after idol. And you will continually have to gain victory over every one of those idols. When those idols get a hold of you, they will not let go easily. And idol worship always leads to Babylon. I don't want anybody in this church. I don't want anybody that I love to end up in Babylon. I don't want them watching people get their eyes gouged out. I don't want them being oppressed. I don't want them being depressed. I don't want them in bondage. I want you to be blessed. I want you to keep God first in your life. Idols come in all shapes and sizes, and they're produced on a daily basis by the human mind. Until God has to come along and show us these things and tear these things down. Come on, we look at the Old Testament, we think of those groves that they would set up for worship. We think about how those prophets would come along and they'd tear down those groves for idol worship. Can I tell you, we got our own groves. We got our own idols. And God ain't pleased in idol worship. God wants to be the first in our life. Come on. We produce them one right after the other. I may have idols in my life that I'm even unaware of. You may have idols in your life that you're unaware of and you need God to show you. It may take some time. You may get things out of priority, and you don't even realize you got things out of priority, except you have an ear to hear. God can tell you you got things out of priority. God will not stand for idol worship. And I may have idols in my life that I'm unaware of, and you may have idols in your life that you're unaware of, but when we're serious with God, He begins to show up. And because He demands our allegiance, the first commandment is this: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Oh boy. Oh boy. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You know what that means? Nothing should come before God. Huh? Even a bunch of lost people in the world understand it should go God, family, work. Huh? But man, we can't even understand that, and we're a part of the church. Can I tell you today, God will not tolerate idol worship. It will always lead you to Babylon. He comes along, He begins to show us we got things out of our priority list. Why? Because He demands our allegiance. God demands faithfulness. The first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. And then He goes on. Here's a good one for you. And thy neighbor as thyself. Whoa. My God. The very first commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy soul. And thy neighbor as thyself. Think about that. Next time you're backbiting your brother and your sister in Christ. Ooh, watch out, preacher. Huh? Think about that next time you're running down the church. Amen. God says to love Him first. Put Him first. Amen. Idol worship always leads to Babylon. Babylon and idolatry. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. You know, I usually open with a story. Well, sometimes I open with a story, but generally my stories come at the beginning. But today I want to close with one. I want to tell you a quick story because I believe it relates to what we're talking about today. A man was driving through a farmyard one day. And as he's driving through the farmyard, he noticed that on the side of the barn were a bunch of targets. And right smack dab in the middle of each target was an arrow. And he's thinking, my God, how can somebody hit exactly in the middle of the target every single time they shoot? As he's driving through the farmyard, he sees the farmer out, and he stops to commend the farmer on his excellent marksmanship. And he says, sir, I was just admiring your barn as I was driving by, and I saw all the targets on the side of your barn, and I noticed you hit the exact center of every single target. And the old farmer looks at the man who's driving through the farmyard, and he says, sir, I'm sorry, but I'm not the one who done that. There's a young boy, a young villager boy who comes over here and he's mentally challenged. And he will shoot arrows into the side of my barn. And after he shoots an arrow into the side of my barn, he will go up and he will paint the target around the arrow. Can I tell you, that's exactly the way our society is today. They want to do what they want to do, and then they want God to come along and to justify it and to say it's okay and to say it's perfect and say you hit right where you were supposed to hit. But can I tell you, that's not what God wants out of us. God wants to order our steps today. God wants us to put Him first today. You're not always going to hit the target the way you want to. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes God's going to have to correct you. And sometimes God's going to have to chastise you. And sometimes God's going to have to whip you. But But if you love him enough, you'll take your whipping. I remember many times, my older brothers more than me, my older sister more than me. But I remember getting whoopings. And some of you might not whoop your children. I'm not telling you to beat your children, so calm down. But my mama used to whoop me. Let me tell you something. I didn't hate her, and I don't hate her today because she corrected me. I love her because she corrected me. And can I tell you this real quick? Statistics show that children who grow up when their parents are trying to be their best friend and justify everything they want to do, they grow up to be spoiled brats who cannot stand their parents. But people who grow up in homes where their parents correct them and love them and show them the right way, those children grow up to love their parents and to respect them. It's the same way in your church. You don't need a church to justify everything you want to do. You don't need a God to justify everything you want to do. You need a God to chastise you. You need a God to correct you. You need a God to tell you when you're wrong. Because that will generate love and respect. That will generate love and respect for your God. God does not want to come around and paint around every arrow that we shoot and say, you did a great job today. No. Can I tell you something? Adam and Eve, real quick, and I'm trying to come to a close. And I know. This is my first closing. Adam and Eve taught Cain and Abel to offer sacrifices unto the Lord. You want to know what one of the biggest misconceptions, Sister Alex, in our society is today? Is that we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. No, that's shooting your arrow and painting around it. No, we don't accept Him, He accepts us. Adam taught his boys to make an offering unto the Lord. One of them was accepted and one of them was rejected. We don't accept him, he accepts us. We are the ones who offer ourselves unto the Lord. We offer our bodies a reasonable sacrifice unto the Lord. We offer ourselves unto God. And either he accepts you because of the sincerity in your heart and the submission in your spirit, or he will reject you because he knows you're not serious. Can I tell you, the only way we're going to stay out of Babylon is if we resist idol worship. Is if we resist putting things before God. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. I told my wife when I first married her, if you ever lose your way with God, you ever decide you don't want to go to church with me, I'm sorry, I'll see you when I get back from church, because I'm not losing my way with God because you don't want to serve God with me. I'm going to press on. I got to make it to heaven. And I love God more than I love you. And I want to make it to heaven. So I got to keep God first and I got to resist idol worship. Can I tell you, it's even possible to put your spouse before God? My God, he's meddling now. It's possible for you to put your spouse before God. You want to see that spouse come to God? How about you put God first? Because a chaste conversation and holy living is how a woman's going to win her husband unto the Lord today. You ain't going to win him by conforming to everything he wants you to do. You ain't going to win those children by making them feel good about everything that they want to do. No, you're going to win them by telling them right from wrong. You're going to win them by telling them what thus saith the Lord. You're going to keep them out of bondage. You're going to keep them out of Babylon because you did what God told you to do. The prophet Jeremiah taught us we can stand for God. We can live for God. We can be faithful to God even when everything is falling down all around us. None of us are in the situation that Jeremiah was in. Man, the stuff he saw, my God, how did he hang on? How did he hang on? But he hung on. He kept preaching this message. He kept preaching repentance. He kept preaching turn back to God in a time when nobody would listen to what he had to say. Why did I get up and come to this church this morning? So I could warn you about idol worship. Why did I get up and come to this church today? Because I want to keep you out of bondage and I want to help you get to heaven. I didn't come today to be mean. I didn't come today to be ornery. I came today to tell you what thus saith the Lord. And the Lord said, I'm a jealous God. And I want to be first in your life. And I want you to desire to please me. I want you to walk uprightly before me. I want the lost and dying world to see me in you. I want you to honor me. I want you to bring glory to me. I want to bless you. I want to keep you out of Babylon. But you got to resist idolatry. You got to resist putting things before me. My God. Man. If we could just get this down in our spirit today. I'm telling you, we can make it to heaven by just putting God first. He will work it all out. He will work it all out. He will put the pieces where they need to be if we just put him first. I've had many disappointments in my life. You've had many disappointments in your life. We've had things that discourage us. We have all experienced hopelessness. But if we just keep God first, if we just keep God first, he's going to keep us out of Babylon. But we got to resist idolatry. Worship with us. These altars are open as we sing this closing song unto the Lord today. Would you come? Would you